13 of Bundle of Oi. I'm co-host Doug.
And I'm Amy Beth.
And, oh, you're going for Amy Beth now.
Yep. I'm making a change. I'm changing my name officially.
Okay. Is this going to be like NPR where like your name is going to get like hyphenated and then more hyphenated and then more hyphenated?
No, I mean, really, it's just my first name and my middle name.
Okay. So it's not going to be, I'm Amy Beth Lieberman Leaf.
No, and it's going to keep growing every episode.
Well, I just feel like if you ever listen to NPR, I feel like all of their hosts have hyphenated names, and I just feel like they keep getting longer. I don't know what it is, but it's just something about like some sort of like fundamental law of pretension. They just get longer and longer.
Do you watch Friends, right?
I did.
So there was one episode, or maybe it was like the episode where Courtney Cox's name changed from Courtney Cox to Courtney Cox Arquette.
Is the episode title the one where Courtney Cox becomes Courtney Cox Arquette?
But I think on the credits of that one, everyone's name had an Arquette on it.
I do remember that, yeah.
Something like Matthew Perry
Arquette.
Yeah, something like that. That's really funny. Yeah. Yeah, but they all are called the one that Doug pooped or whatever.
That's yours. That's the one you went to? The one that Doug pooped. Okay.
That would be every episode.
Yes. So let's see. What's on deck for this week? Well, one thing we wanted to talk about was I'm calling Disney jerks, but it's not really confined to Disneyland. This is, you know, a problem you experience in the real world, which is just there's a lot of people out there that are kind of full of rage all the
just
time.
Angry people or angry, entitled people.
Yeah, they're like, you know, their fuse is so freaking short. I don't know how you function where you're like constantly, you know, an instant away from snapping.
Why don't you tell the story of what you're referring to?
All right. So it's not much of a story, but we went to Disneyland yesterday with Celeste. And it was really crowded, in part because it was a 3-day weekend. They were also having a special event that day, on top of it just being a Sunday.
And it was during the parade time on Main Street.
Right.
So everyone, you couldn't walk down the middle of the street, so everyone was on the sidewalk.
Right. And so I accidentally tapped the dude from behind with the bottom of Celeste's wheelchair. Like, you know, I touched the back of his heel or whatever.
Well, you did it twice.
He said I did it twice. I don't know that I actually did. I think I only did it once. It may be that somebody else tapped him before, and then I did it the second time, and he thought I was responsible for both.
Oh, okay.
But the guy, like, turned around and was like, that's twice. Don't do it again.
I know, I really wanted to say, or what, but luckily I didn't, because he was kind of scary looking.
Yeah, exactly. Not the kind of guy where I thought it would be worth actually doing anything. And, you know, who knows what he would really do. Like, is this guy going to assault me, like, while I'm holding a stroller with my 1.5-year-old in a giant crowd full of people at Disneyland? Maybe not, but some people are freaking nuts.
And nutso. And what, like, bothers me even more about it is that
you say you're sorry. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, which is the right thing to do. You go, you're right, I screwed up. That's on me. Sorry.
No, it's not even that. It's that, I mean, yes, that's annoying, but the fact that I went and posted something because I wanted members.
This was phase
two. The Facebook page for like Disney fan holders. I just remembered something else that I want to talk
holders?
About. I know. I got distracted. Pass holders. I got distracted because there was something else I want to talk about that I just remembered. So,
all right, so put a pin in that.
Remind me to come back to that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I wrote a post saying, gosh, what is wrong with people so angry? My husband was apologetic, but this guy basically threatened to beat him off. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I read into it. Mm-hmm. And people jumped on me like, you would not believe, like,
People seem like they're awful angry all the time. Well, why don't you shut the fuck up?
It was like, basically that, and it was. I wrote it, and then we got our turkey leg, and then I sat down to check if I'd gotten any responses, and it was 30 responses in
go fuck yourself.
14 minutes. I mean, and they were all angry messages, and one person even sent me a private message about how I'm so fucking entitled and I should go fuck myself, and then blocked me so I couldn't even respond to her. And I am everything that's wrong with Disneyland, and people like me with strollers are so fucking entitled and we should go fuck ourselves.
People with strollers, it is Disneyland. You understand it's meant for kids, right? That's the stated purpose.
And I want to say that I did write in my post that you were super apologetic. You were in the wrong. Sorry.
I was in the wrong. You hit him.
But
I shouldn't have done that.
But how ridiculous of a response was this? And yeah. I got a completely different response than I intended or I had hoped to get. I thought I was going to get some compassion. Like, gosh, it's such a, like,
people. What an overreaction.
More, yeah, an overreaction. And instead it turned into a, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
But I do agree that if you are in a crowded place, you really have to be very careful about walking.
Of course you do. But also, when someone mildly bumps into you and says, I'm sorry, that's probably sufficient to smooth over the crime you committed
by
bumping into them.
I wonder what happens when this guy's on the flight to, you know, across to Europe and there's a kid sitting behind him kicking his seat. Does he turn around and be like, hey, kid,
That's what the air marshals are for, I guess.
I don't think the air marshals care about.
They'll intervene if someone actually starts a fight, I would think.
Oh, I thought you were saying to tell the kid to stop kicking.
Oh, that? No, they're not going to intervene in that.
Oh, you don't necessarily have an air marshal on every flight, do you?
Mm.
Or just the overseas ones, maybe?
No, you might.
Lot of people
Pay for. I don't know what the rules are on that, of how many there actually are. But, you know, it's just a kind of a weird facet of life. I feel like in general, there's so much anger and it's just like, you know, bubbling like, you know, half an inch below the surface waiting to explode at any time. And I don't know what for this parenting podcast. I mean, the parenting aspect is, you know, how do you protect your kids from that and how to teach them not to grow up to be that person.
I would never react like that in front of Celeste. No. Even when I have road rage. I don't say anything in the car because I don't want her to hear me talking like that.
Yeah, and like in life,
And this guy, I don't think, had a kid with him. But that doesn't make it any better.
No.
There's tons of kids around that could have heard.
This is the quote-unquote happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
Like, this guy can't be happy at the happiest place on earth.
I wrote that in my post, too. I was like, so much for the happiest place on earth. And people were like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I deleted my post. I got so much. I was laughing, and I just had to delete it. Because I was like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, the comment section from YouTube comes out. You know, where it's everybody's...
Well, everyone's so quick to jump on you because they know you're not going to... I'm never going to talk to these people.
It's anonymous. But even still, like, I don't have that level of rage for anonymous people on the internet. And I've never felt the urge to, like, go comment on things. I'm part of an online community, and it's, like, the nicest online community in the world.
Oh, not mine.
No, not yours, but it's an online community of, like-minded video game nerds.
Yeah.
It's all social justice warriors and sweetness.
I understand, like, totally disagreeing with somebody respectfully. There's a lot of that where I post, but the level at which people really came out to, like, curse at me was a little bit disproportionate. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's beyond a little disproportionate. It is that thing of, like, everybody's ready to just go nuclear at the drop of a hat.
And maybe something happened to this guy earlier in the day to make him...
Maybe.
Maybe he's just frustrated because he was in the parking lot forever and the tram took forever. I mean, I get it. By the time you get to Disneyland, it's like you've taken an hour just to get from the parking lot to the actual start. And maybe he was just in a bad mood.
Yeah, I get that. But I also, you know...
discount his behavior.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say like I'm emotionless Mr. Spock or whatever. But there is definitely this thing where people get full of rage or they're angry and they snap at you or they do something and it's like... And the response is always, well, I'm stressed out, therefore it's justified, or, you know, I'm hangry, or whatever it may be. And it's like, you know, if only there was some sort of organ that was part of your body that could control your thoughts and your mouth, and therefore, like,
what is it, your hypothalamus?
Your brain.
I know, but it's
what part of your brain?
Is it your hypothalamus?
No. I don't know what part of your brain the actual filter is, but the point is to say, like, you still have a choice. You can still choose not to react based on your emotions.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That guy just probably reacts like that to everything.
I'm sure
he
does.
He's just an entitled asshole.
Yeah, no,
I mean. He was like about our age.
Rough, give or take, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say maybe slightly older.
Slightly older.
Hard to tell.
Looked a little rough.
It doesn't matter. Like, more than old enough to be at a point where you should be able to put a governor on your thoughts and actions.
Just turn around and say, hey. You've hit me a couple times. Can you please be more careful? That's what I would do.
It's the threatening, don't do it again.
That's what it was.
So it's like, come on, man. Like, I'm,
or else, this, like, is, what, like, are you really going to do at Disneyland?
This is super, it's a super crowded area. I'm, you know, not trying to hit you.
Yeah.
You know, you stop suddenly or whatever. Like, I'm doing my best here. And yeah. I said sorry. And I didn't, it's not like I cut your Achilles tendon off. You know, I bumped into you at the lowest possible speed with a baby stroller.
Yeah.
So, you know, ease up. So, anyway, that my plea is to everyone, which is, like, if you're that person who's, like, I can, you know, don't be a Donald Duck, be a Mickey Mouse. Like, you know, control it. Like, what are you so angry about all the time?
I guess
I'm just, I don't know what it's like to walk around with that level of, like, frustration and
you
rage.
You haven't
at the
been
world.
Hungry enough.
I haven't been hungry enough.
That's because true. You're spending all your time eating garbage.
I do. Okay, so here's another topic on the list, which is the running gag around here that I eat actual garbage. Okay, would you like to explain this?
Yes. So it was born out of the fact that Doug will go into the freezer, for example, and take pizza out from 2012 and have no problem eating it. Or he'll open a Tupperware and he'll kind of smell it and be like, it's okay, I guess I'll eat it. And then we'll eat it. Like, it just seems like there's no filter for what you're willing to eat. Like,
it's not
expiration
true.
Dates don't really matter. They're kind of, they're, what's it, the line from Pirates of the Caribbean?
They're more like guidelines.
They're more like guidelines, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I feel about Doug and eating garbage. He's basically, like, when he takes the trash out to the street for the garbage man. He's not really taking it to the street to the garbage man. He's eating it.
Right. It's now more from like, oh, I'm willing to eat things that you are not willing to eat, to now I just eat straight up like plastic.
It and, really has morphed into that. Sticks. Well, I don't eat leftovers a lot. You seem to be our...
You're on the opposite end of the spectrum, which is like, that's 4 seconds old. Throw it away. Gross.
Definitely. Especially if there's dairy involved.
Yeah. But you can tell when something goes bad. You will see that there's mold on it or it smells
but
funny.
But you're the kind of guy who, like, picks off the mold and still eats it.
Oh, no, I won't do that.
Really?
No, I would never
really?
Do that. No, I would not.
I might.
That. What? Wait a minute.
Depending on what it is. If it's, like, cheese, I might cut off the moldy part of the cheese.
That's probably one where you can get away with it because you can really section,
like,
it
usually
off.
Usually, if it
but
has,
not, like, meat.
If there's, like, one strawberry that's got a little bit of suspectness to it, I'll throw away the whole thing immediately. I don't know if you noticed, but our stuff in our fridge doesn't last very long.
Part of it is just that the quantity they sell it to you in, like, they, you know, no matter what it is, would be, because there's really only two of us. Celeste doesn't eat all that much. So it's mostly like there's, you know, 2 1/4. We can't go through the food before it goes bad unless we just commit to, like, we're going to eat the same thing every day.
Well, we've started just buying our produce the day of or like a couple of days in advance. And we stick to that because if we buy a week's worth of produce, it just won't last for us.
No, we're just guaranteeing that it's, we're going to throw out
something will go
part
bad, and we constantly are throwing out food. We're so bad at that.
Yeah. So,
Doug eats garbage.
Doug eats garbage.
Is the point of this. That's the name of this episode.
Doug eats garbage.
Doug eats garbage.
Do
we have episode titles?
No, but we could start calling them episode 13, : Doug Eats Garbage.
It'll fit in with colons, too, because that's what you're eating.
I'm eating colons?
No, your colon is filled with garbage.
I don't have pica, by the way. I should also add that.
Really?
You know what pica is, right?
No, it's a fish.
No, that's pike.
I know. I was joking.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's some kind of garbage eating disease.
kind of. It isn't.
I'm so dumb.
No.
What is it? Is it a disease? It must be like a virus.
So let's
this is the part of the thing where I make it up.
This is the part. we ran into it.
Oh my God, we're telling everybody how dumb I am.
No, we've run into the part of the podcast where we stumble into something that you don't know what it is.
Oh, I guess.
And I want you to guess.
Okay, I got it. It's like a it's like an episode. It's like what you have if you're on an episode of like an MTV show where you eat something weird. Like you eat, you're addicted to eating like razor blades.
Basically, yes.
Right?
Not razor blades, but I mean, yeah, you eat things that are not food. It's an eating disorder where you're like, usually people eat things like clay and paper.
There's usually a reason for that.
It's like
if you eat clay or you crave clay, it's like you're missing a nutrient or something, that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually a sign of malnutrition that you're doing that.
Okay. So I got it pretty much right. Except I didn't... Yeah. I was thinking it was more like an addiction bait. Like when you're...
Well, it's an eating disorder, okay. Like anorexia.
All right, I'm going to give myself that one. I think I did okay on that.
I think you got it. Yeah, I will give you that.
Yeah, I'm not dumb.
Yeah, no, you're not dumb.
Did you guys all know what pica was?
Mm-hmm.
Comment on our page.
Comment on it. Hashtag pica. It's trending.
Hashtag bundle of boy pica.
Yeah. There are those like weird dudes that like... this must be like a carnival freak thing. Like they'll eat light bulbs and stuff. And I don't know, you know how they do that. But I feel like you would end up shredding your internal organs and die from that. But
don't try it.
Don't do it.
Don't do this at home.
Yeah. So watch your kids and the things they put in their mouth.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I thought of something else about the thing. My little thing that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes. That's right. We put a pin in something. So let's get back to the thing.
So the thing that I wanted to talk about, because I was listening. I always listen to our podcasts after that we record them, like the next day or so.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's spread out over a couple of days. And I noticed that I say like a lot.
Okay.
So I think it's like a drinking game if you're listening to us at night and you're drinking. So you could say like, or you can have a drink anytime I say like. But I'm also
people will die of alcohol poisoning.
I know, seriously. Make it a very tiny drink. But I would just like to propose that I am working... And we should work on it, too, because I think you say it, too.
Probably. I'm from Southern California, too. It's a pretty common.
So let's, like, I see. I can't help. It's my pause word.
Well, you can use it in the actual sense in which
it's
designed.
I'm not.
You're just using it as a filler.
Yes, it's a filler. And I don't know how to stop making myself use a filler.
You could try a different filler.
No, I don't think that solves the
problem.
You
could say,
So I'm going to try to be more mindful of my word usage, and I'm going to talk like a robot. A Spanish robot. Apparently, I think I have an accent when I talk like a robot.
I don't know what you're doing. Some sort of like
robot. I'm not trying to be foreign. I'm trying to be a robot. It's not
from what country?
America.
Okay.
Let me see your. What does your robot sound like?
I would think a robot would sound something like this.
Yours is a sexy robot.
Oh, I was going for like a HAL 9000 thing. Like
what's
creepy.
A HAL 9000? Do you want me to guess?
sure. We'll go for round two.
Oh my god! I have no idea. Can Amy Robot have a clue?
It is from a movie.
Is it Star Warsian?
For purposes of this, I will say yes. It's not from Star Wars, literally.
Then how can it be Star Warsian?
It's a sci-fi thing.
Okay, it's Mystery Science Theater 3000. No, I have no idea. This is
divided by.
I have no idea.
Multiplied by HAL 9000 is the evil robot from 2001.
That's what I meant.
Of course.
Seriously.
Oh.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean Mystery Science Theater. I meant the
those
show.
Are two very different things.
I know. But that's what I meant. I meant the movie that had the numbers in it.
One of the greatest films ever made. And the show where they screened the worst films ever made.
What a failed podcast this is.
No, this is a success. Anyway.
Anyway, so I would like you to be mindful with me about not using...
The word like.
And so I will be speaking in more staccato like this from now on.
I feel like it's offensive, and I'm not sure to who.
But I'm not meaning to be offensive, I swear. Okay. I just that I cannot. Let me come up with another robot voice. Give me a minute.
Okay.
My name is Amy. Is that better?
It's the Vicky robot from Small Wonder. That's what that sounds like.
Would you like to have a cup of coffee? I'm still some sort of foreigner.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing robot. I will say like. It is better for my foreign affairs.
Should say like. Yeah. I can tell you a little story about using the word like that way. I had a history teacher in high school, Mr. Slevkov, who looked and sounded a lot like Bill Murray, oddly enough. But his one of his many quirks was he was leading a crusade against the use of the word like the way you're using it as a little time filler. He would flip out if anyone did it. Like, on purpose, he would kind of make a show of going over the top. Like! He'd throw a book. He'd throw a desk once.
That's funny. You know, it worked, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't... You never got the sense he would actually come after you. There was definitely a twinkle in his eye to let you know he was being funny about it.
Yeah.
But it was still a little unhinged for ninth grade. But that's good old Mr. Slavkov. So I do have one other topic here on our list, other than Disney jerks and Doug eats garbage, and that was toy guns. This came up today. Like, you know, how comfortable are you with your kids playing with toy firearms? And again, we're recording this a week after the worst shooting in U.S. history, and probably a week before the next worst shooting.
That's terrible.
Terrible but true.
So what do you think?
I'm okay with playing with toy guns. Now, the degree to which I'm okay with it is partly a function of the age of the kid, and two, the degree of verisimilitude of the toy gun. In other words, how realistic looking is it? Because if it's a big old goofy looking space ray gun, I don't see a problem compared to like a hyper realistic looking BB gun. There is a big difference. In fact, you know, I mean, I as an attorney, I've worked on cases where the police have shot people with
fake guns. Yeah.
And the plaintiff is always quick to say, well, it was just a toy. He was shot holding a toy. And then you see a picture of it and you go like, if I saw that from far enough away, I would never know that was a toy. That looks exactly like the real thing.
Yep.
So if he's pointing it at me, I'm not going to take a chance that I don't go home tonight. I'm going to fire back. But the point is to say, and also these were people that were playing with toy guns that were like, you know, 17, 18, you know, too old to be playing with toys. Like, go play with an Xbox like a regular kid.
Yeah. Well, that's another question, too.
Video games?
And video games.
Yeah, well, maybe one at a time. But as far as the toy guns goes, one, I don't think you're going to stop kids from playing with them. They're kind of everywhere. And it's not so much, to me, it's not so much about the toy gun. It's about making sure that your kid understands the difference between fantasy and reality. Because kids have been playing cops and robbers and, yeah, you know, and cowboys and Indians for a million
years.
Not
every kid that plays with a toy gun turns out to be a mass murderer.
No, and that goes to video games too, where it's always like, you know, there'll be one of these mass shootings and there'll be a story like, oh, this guy liked to play Grand Theft Auto. Ooh, it must be video games. And you go, wait a minute, that game sold 600 million copies.
Yeah, and maybe
it's not everybody's picking up a gun. Maybe it's not the game.
Maybe it's something more else. That the kid is more inclined to play the game because it's something that the rage inside of him that he needs to get out.
And that's the different question, which is, you know, one,
the chicken or the egg.
Well, it's not that. There have been plenty of studies over and over again. People like to beat that drum of like violent movies, violent games, violent whatever. It causes people to be violent. And the answer is no, it doesn't. Time and again, they've proven that most people, no matter what media you consume, whether it's games, books, or movies, and it's violent, the overwhelming majority of people can differentiate fiction from reality and go, I get it. I don't need to go shoot anybody. I can watch a super violent movie and go on with my life and not hurt a soul.
Well, I think that the you have the parents who are teaching the kids that this is a game. This is not reality. That's the line, right?
Part of it is, one, you're teaching morality. Now, the societal question that should... So the question of, gee, if I expose my kid to this, are they going to turn into a serial killer? No. You know, but that's not the right question. The right question is, you know, given that that's not the case, why are we still drawn to this stuff? Why do we find this compelling? Why is this such a part of our culture as a whole? Even if you can watch it and easily walk away from it, like most of us do, that question is harder to answer. From a parenting perspective, as far as this podcast goes, I think that the bigger onus is, again, on you to be able to make sure your kids understand, you know, fantasy is awesome, but it needs to be relegated to its proper place.
Yeah. Well, some parents do. I mean, we're not really the family that goes hunting for sport, but a lot of families do.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of teaching kids that, okay, guns are for play or for hunting.
Or they have a legitimate function.
Yes. I mean, using them for the function for which they are intended, not killing people. Like, that's not... And, like, pointing your gun at a person, you need to teach your kid that that's not okay.
Well,
either.
Safety is, I mean...
Not your toy gun.
Oh,
even just teaching that.
Well, that's about having good habits. I mean, I've shot guns a few times. I've enjoyed it, going to a firing range and
I'm not really a fan of guns.
I mean, it doesn't bother me as a recreational thing. And again, it's about being teaching responsibility is important for everything. And so getting back to the like, oh, they're going to see these violent movies and or play games and go out and commit crimes. No. But the flip side of that is if you don't teach someone to responsibly differentiate between fantasy and reality, it doesn't matter what, if you can shield them from, you know, this, that, or the other thing. They're going to find something. Look, you could be the son of Sam and you think your dog's going to tell you to kill somebody.
I think that as long as you're teaching your kids morality, like if you have that piece, then the kids can play video games and play with guns and stuff. But if you take, like, here's my question. If you take away the parental aspect, like let's say you have a kid whose parents are kind of negligent, don't really care that much, and he starts playing video games, is he still inclined? Does he know automatically to differentiate?
I think so, in that I think most people, you know, are intrinsically good and intrinsically intelligent enough to differentiate the fiction of it and understand that, like, this is not to be a behavior to be modeled. I think most people are still, you know, I don't know the science on it. I'd like to believe that most people, even in the absence, you know, it's like people's going back to something like the Bible, and it's like, oh, well, God commanded us not to murder and steal. I'd like to think that if no one told you not to do that, you'd still understand not to do that because they're obviously bad things and you have the brain cells to put two and two in together and go, oh, killing's wrong.
I think, you know, that was another thing that I learned in my World War II and existentialism class, mm-hmm. which has now come up twice in this podcast. How random. Thank you to my teacher, who I don't remember her name. But there was some theory about existentialism proposed that people are inherently good and, like, society depends upon people being inherently good and following rules. That's why society works the way it does, is because people know not to break the rules for the most part. That's why when you have traffic lights, people follow the rules. You have police, people, like, don't break the law.
Well, yeah, in fact, actually, this was an interesting thing on the evolutionary side of things, to get less philosophical and more anthropological. When you look at altruism from an evolutionary perspective, at first it looks like it shouldn't be there. Like animals, you know, being...
They're selfish, inherently
selfish. Well, you would think that, I mean, the way that evolution works is obviously that whatever strategy is the best.
Survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah. So that in theory that the selfishness should outweigh altruism, but it turns out that's not necessarily true. That being altruistic helps in the long run because if genes that cause the species to be altruistic exist, that means maybe a member of the group that gets, like, say, sick, instead of dying, gets nursed back to health, and then, you know, once they're good to go, they continue to propagate and they help the other ones that are sick. Or,
well, that's
help.
Because that's how humans have done as well as we have.
Right. Because we have this.
Because we have, like, it takes a village mentality.
Yeah. If you're on your own and you're totally selfish, it actually works. It doesn't work as well because it makes you more vulnerable. You don't have the help you need because otherwise you got to have luck on your side all the time.
I'm even thinking of, like, symbiosis.
Yeah,
like
kind
to
of.
Like, kind. Well, I mean, it's a little
between
different.
Two different species, but yes.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant in terms of altruism.
No, altruism just being self-sacrificing. Okay. You know, in other words, saying, like, oh, I'm not going to go out. If I tend to this person who is this fellow creature that is sick, that means I have less opportunity to go get food for myself. But the if we're all doing this all the time and helping each other, then we move forward.
I wonder
forward
how
together.
It works cross species.
For symbiosis? That's...
No, I know that depends on it. Symbiosis.
Similar idea.
But altruistically.
Yeah, altruism would be within a species. But not to get too scientifically minded on this. But the point is to say that our society, our evolution has built humans to be generally kind and altruistic and work together. And
it's proven that that's why we are as successful as a species as we are.
Yes. The other side of the coin.
I took human evolution.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
The other side of the coin is we're also very tribalistic. So we will be very altruistic to the people within our group, but we tend to be very mistrustful of the other group. Where we can say, we can all help each other, but fuck those guys over the hill. And you know,
hence the Disney jerk.
Hence racism, hence, you know, so many problems in the world today that we can't ever just sort of bust through and go like, ah, we're all the same bags of meat. It doesn't matter what color our skin is, you know?
Yeah.
So where were we going with this? On toy guns.
No idea.
We were talking about violence and toy guns.
I don't know where we got off track.
We got way off track. But the point of the guns is just the toy guns. I think it's okay to play.
I am not a huge fan of it. Personally,
mm-hmm.
I just don't like guns. Like, I don't want my daughter being around them. I just think that they...
obviously the real ones, but...
Obviously the real ones, but what does she need to pretend to shoot people? Like, why is that a game that she needs to play?
It isn't, but I think conflict is inherently dramatic.
Okay,
and
but
kids
she
play
can...
out drama.
Okay, I mean, well, yeah, girls
are
gentle
usually, but...
She can play another way.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be buying her guns or any really weapons.
No, but I these things scale up too with their level of, you know, verisimilitude. Like, you know, the video games I played as a kid were nothing compared to, say, you know, Call of Duty now in terms of violence, the realism that they depict. And that's something to think about too. But my thought would be, I mean, if she ends up being into them like I was, to have her kind of progress, like, you know, when she's little, she can play simpler things, you know, her Super Mario Brothers or the equivalent of that. And then someday when she's old enough to appreciate it and not, you know, be negatively influenced by it, then start experiencing some of the more
I just don't
crazy
think
stuff.
That those kinds of games or, yeah, games or weapons are necessary for her mental development. If she happens to stumble on it, great, but is it something that I'm going to offer to her?
No, but I will say, you liked horror movies growing up.
I do.
So.
But that's not teaching me to be. Like, I'm not, when I'm playing the video game, you're like acting, you're the person, right, who's killing people. Or if you're playing with a toy gun,
but you're
shooting them.
People by killing the bad people. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, we don't want to teach, you know. We want to honor you're constantly saying, let's honor the troops. And like, well, they kill people for a living. That's what they do. That's what they're for. So it's understanding that there is, you know, we want people to honor these heroes, but not to pretend to be them in a game. Like, we have to sort of be mindful of the fact that, like, violence, as unfortunate and terrible as it is, can sometimes serve a noble purpose.
I'm just saying that I don't think we need to go out of our way to expose her to
well,
be playing
I'm not
going to
strap
games.
Her to a chair and make her watch, you know, Clockwork Orange. You know,
yeah.
You know, I want her to hopefully get to experience some of these things, but when she's at a level she's ready to see, you know, I mean.
But that's not like the second that she turns age 10, I'm just going to put a toy gun in her hand and be like, okay, you're old enough to play with these now.
By the time she's 10, she'd probably be too old to want to play with it.
Probably.
You know, at that age, they're not interested in, you know, those kinds of, you know, toy, like plasticky pick up and play with toys. They're going to want to do other things.
Probably be climbing trees. That's what I'd rather her be doing.
That's even better. So
we'll see.
Yeah. So I think that covers our topic-y topics.
Topic-y topics.
That's what we should call it from. What are our topic-y topics? So now we're on to our proud moment and parenting pail of the week.
Okay.
You got one?
I have a parenting pail.
Okay.
When I was taking care of Celeste on Saturday, you were out at a show.
Yes.
And I had bathed her and I was carrying her from the bathroom out to get her clothes on in our downstairs guest room down here. And I accidentally bumped her head. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I had been... Like, obviously, I didn't do it on purpose, but I just kind of made a turn that didn't quite...
You didn't quite clear the doorway.
I didn't quite clear the doorway, and she bumped her head, and she was quiet for a second, and then the lip comes out, and it's always a slight delayed reaction. Like, she doesn't know what happened, and then suddenly she realizes that it hurts.
Aww.
Or she's supposed to cry.
Yeah.
But, so I felt really bad, and we had a snuggle, but, I mean, accidents happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that.
Okay. Well, my fail was there was some day this week where she was really, really tired. And, you know, we brush teeth before we go to bed. And I gave her the toothbrush. And she, like, stuck it in her mouth for, like, a second and a half. And was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you gotta brush your teeth, sweetie. She wouldn't do it. So I, like,
pulled her arms hand.
I basically, like, shoved the thing in her mouth and did it for her for a little bit. She was crying and screaming.
She gets so mad.
And it's, yeah. And part of me is like, well, she needs her teeth brushed. I need to do this. On the other hand, it's like, well, I don't want her to have, like, an aversion to it.
You
don't
have a bad association.
Like, if she goes, you know, one night without brushing her teeth, it's not going to kill her. Maybe it was worth it to avoid the trauma.
I guess so.
You know, make it a positive experience.
She really doesn't like it when we do it for her.
No.
She really wants to do it herself. But then all she's doing is, like, sucking the toothpaste or the water off the toothbrush.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how effective it is. Maybe I'll ask the dentist next time we go.
Or ask the pediatrician tomorrow.
Yeah, I can ask her. But so, she has a pediatric dentist.
Yeah. So do you have a proud moment?
I'm so bad at this. I can't think of anything. I'm so sorry. This happens every week. Maybe we should change this segment.
Or you just got to write them down when they happen.
I know.
That's what we got to
do. Do you have something?
I do.
I'm the bad mom. It's a
general thing.
I'm proud of how well you ate the garbage this week.
I don't eat the garbage.
I know.
Could you pass the garbage? Well, all right. Mine was just you've been super focused on her needs this week. We've been loosely kicking around the idea of moving, you know, looking at a house and running the numbers on the finances to the point where I'm going a little insane myself, because I feel like we run the numbers and then the next day you turn to me and go, you know, we really need to run the numbers. And I'm like, we only
ran the numbers once.
And then we did it again. I feel like it's like, well, I really want to run the numbers. And I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. What more do you need? I can't do any more addition and subtraction. It's all there. But you've been super focused on that. We've also, there's a chance that you may be working some more hours, but we don't know, but it's a possibility. So we've been starting to look at the logistics of, like, well, if you were to spend more time at the office, how would we make that work? How would we do it monetarily? How would we manage the time? You know, so I feel like with these, like, kind of big life challenges, you're much better about, like, well, let's really comb over the fine details. And I'm more on the side of, like, this will work out. What are you worried about?
I'm grid lines.
Yeah, grid lines. But in a good way. In a way that benefits our daughter's welfare. Yeah. So,
well, you have to have the numbers. You can't buy a house willy-nilly and then all of a sudden you have all these expenses come up.
No, I'm not saying that. But I think you're more focused on the, like, well, what if the house burns down and then we have nowhere to live? And I'm like, well,
yeah,
okay.
Well, I live in what if land.
Yeah.
So I'm always prepared for every single scenario that could happen. I think it's part of my event planning background that I anticipate everything that could go wrong. And then I have the solution ready to go when it does go wrong.
Right.
So it's kind of part of that.
And my angle is sort of going nuts, going like, you're killing me with the stress of solving problems that almost certainly will never come up.
But don't you think it's better to have the what ifs? Because, so we buy a house and we're stretching it every month, but we anticipate that our salaries will catch up to our monthly payments and everything's going to be okay. But then all of a sudden we get into a car accident and we have to buy a brand new car. And it's like suddenly our backup plan of using some of our savings isn't working anymore because that's how people end up homeless. I mean, you have these catastrophes that happen out of nowhere and then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you never thought you'd be in. Right. And obviously that won't happen because we have the safety net of your parents. But
I know, but there's the other side of that coin is going like, well, how is that any different from where we are now in terms of, like,
it's $1,000 different of mortgage.
Well, it's not that. It's not about that. It's the idea that, like, yeah, you're not gonna be immune from potential catastrophe. That's a constant.
Sure.
No matter what you do. So I'm not saying you do things that are ill-advised or, you know, not sound. But the thought of, like, well, I can't do something because of the risk of a catastrophe prevents you from doing anything at a certain point. Because you go, like, well, a meteor could fall on it, so we shouldn't do anything.
You know? I think you just have to, you have to weigh the risk.
Yes.
And if it seems like too much of a risk,
you balance it.
And I don't think it, because of Celeste probably going into a preschool in June, that's a huge expense. I just think that you're you're acting like I'm blowing this totally out of the water.
This is my proud moment for you being focused on it. Okay. I'm just saying that
I thought you were criticizing. Sound like he's criticizing?
No, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying I'm glad that you're focused on it. I think I would approach it a little less so I'm glad that I have you to be that counterweight.
Okay. It sounded like you were going the opposite direction too nervous Nelly about it.
No, I think we compliment each other because I think sometimes, you know, I need you to like kind of push back and say like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't do this. And sometimes I think it's good for me to push you and say, no, we should. Let's do it. And between the two of us, I think we make sound decisions because of that.
Okay.
So positivity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's it for this bundle of oil. Unless you got something you want to add. Are you good?
I'm good. Let's plug our page. Oh, shoot. We didn't check and see if we had a review.
I did.
And we don't. We don't. I'm guessing.
No link. So
please leave us a review. I know you're listening. I've heard comments from you.
Yeah.
So you just haven't posted it. On, please.
So if you got the time, please go on iTunes and give us a review. One, we really appreciate it. And two, I'll write a limerick about you and read it on the show. So in addition to that, if you have feedback you want to send us, questions, topics, anything at all, send it to bundleofoy@gmail.com or post it to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bundleofoy. And also, little bit of a hiccup this week, but we're planning on having Lisa Howe on our show soon, and she's a professional parenting coach. So if you have questions you think you would want her to answer, please send them to us. We just had a little scheduling snafu, but we will have her on soon, and we're looking forward to running your questions by her, because what the hell do we know?
I'm excited.
Yeah, so I think that'll do it for this episode, and then hopefully we'll come up with a cute little sign-off one of these days.
Top of the hour. Oh, wait, that'd be for the beginning. The top of the morning to you.
The bottom of the evening to you.
All right.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.